Today on Real Radio.
The Bible teaches that our nature is in such a way that we are manipulators. The Bible teaches that we are liars by nature.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We're in sort of a series within a series, you might say, as Pastor Jack delivers a multi-part presentation called Is Hell Real? And What Is It Like? It seems that nearly everyone wants to believe in heaven, but not so much in hell. Well, the truth is, of all the people that show up in the Bible, Jesus himself spoke more about hell and eternal damnation than any of the others. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called Is Hell Real? And What Is It Like?
As we look to Romans chapter 12, we'll run quickly over to Romans chapter 8. But in these two portions of scripture, it sets up part two of our message entitled tonight, Is Hell Really Real? And What Is It Like? We're going to be looking at that in our final part of this part two message. Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Rome, and he says there in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The word can be translated even worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Flip back just a little bit, couple of pages, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1. Pay close attention to this. I'll read a portion of this verse, and I'll pause or I'll stop at a comma. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The amazing statement that Paul makes to the believers in Rome is this, that prior to coming to Christ, you were under condemnation. The Bible teaches that everyone, every human, is born into condemnation. Just like you and I were born into a family, we were born into a family and we were born into a name or a heritage or a line. We were born, according to the Bible, we arrived into this world under condemnation. Now that's not a very happy thought, but it's true and factual nonetheless. And you know it's true, by the way, if you think about it for a moment. The Bible teaches that our nature is in such a way that we are manipulators. The Bible teaches that we are liars by nature. You say, Jack, why did I come here tonight? I could have watched the World Series. No, listen, this is better than the World Series. Trust me. In due time, you'll see how important it is. According to the Bible, you and I think predominantly about ourselves. Is that not true? According to the Bible, we are conceived even in sin. All of these things that are strikes against us, it's like, well, why even get out of bed? Oh, because listen, the word gospel, evangel, means good news. Here's the great thing. You don't have to be a theologian to agree with me that you and I struggle with, and we always have struggled with, thoughts of lust, thoughts of aggression, anger, jealousy, even wrath. Where does this stuff come from? How is it that you can see two little cute kids on the playground playing and goofing off, and Johnny picks up Billy's truck, and Billy just decks him? Where does that come from? The Bible tells us it comes from the very nature that you and I were born with. And here's the amazing thing. This is so cool to me. I think this is cool. I used to work at Baxter Healthcare way, way back, and I worked there in a research lab for 13 years, and we used to cut parts out of bodies and stuff. You can pull out a spleen and put it over there and poke it. You can even take an ear off. I'm talking about a dead person here. So don't try this at home. You might hurt somebody. You can take an ear and set it on the table or pull out a tongue and put it over here. Guess what? It doesn't do anything. Why? They're dead, man. It's dead. It's an ear here, and it's a tongue there, and it's a spleen over here. What's the deal? The deal is it came from a dead man. It doesn't work anymore. But even when it did work, it was only a machine. Do you ever think about that? That you and I are a biological machine. But I feel warm, and I kind of smell kind of okay. You're a biological machine. This machine, the body, has been created by God, which is an amazing design. Go figure. I mean, they're still trying to figure it out. And God gave you this body to express yourself. Ultimately, the Bible teaches that God gave us this body that we might worship Him. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your possessions. He wants your heart. Why? Think about it. You can pull a heart out of somebody and set it on the table, and it's dead. But even when it was beating, it's got no emotions. You cannot cut into a human being and pull out the emotion box. It's not there. Where's the part in the human body? Where do we dive in to extract or to dissect the part that makes you write poems? Where is the part of the brain that it's got this thing and it's labeled on it and it says this or that about writing a sonnet or whatever the case might be? You guys, when you and I die, the real you, the real me, departs from this carcass. It leaves this body because it's no longer needed in the realm just beyond our noses right now. We can't feel it. We can't see it. We don't have the eyes for it, but it's the spirit realm. And the moment that happens, we breathe our last breath into this world, and we are alive in the next world. And that's what this message is about. Where will you and I be in that next world? Remarkably, you have 100% choice as to where you'll be. God has given you that option. He has given you the responsibility to be able to choose where you'll spend eternity. And the amazing thing is that the choice box, the choice apparatus, you can't cut out of a human being. You can't replace it with someone else's transplant. It's the very soul of who you and I are. Do we want to know God? Who is God? What do I need to do to know Him? And what do I need to do about this thing in my life, about who I am and what I want and this world that I'm involved in, and why am I alive anyway? And if He's real, can He be known? Well, listen, last time, very quickly, get ready. Last time, we hit this one point. How do we get from here to heaven? Is hell really real? And what is it like? Number one, we looked at the origin of hell itself. The Bible speaks about it. The Bible tells about it. Jesus Himself spoke more about hell than any other person in the Bible. What we looked under that regarding the origin of hell is that it is real. Is hell really real? People want to tell you that it's not. People want to tell you no. Of course, nobody wants to think about hell being real if you have doubts about going there or not. Or if you're living in a lifestyle that kind of makes you think, well, I could wind up there. You don't want to talk about it. You want to argue it out of your mind. I understand that. But Jesus said it's real. The prophets of the Old Testament said it's real. The book of Revelation says it's real. And you guys are all smart enough, I know you are, to be thinking, man, I don't want to bet my eternal destination on what feels good to me versus what someone who, by the way, was written about in the Bible, comes and shows us the way, dies on a cross, is buried in a grave, is resurrected from the grave, and then announces to us, I did that to set you free from the grip of the grave and of hell. I'd rather believe him than some storybook. It's real. The origin of hell also we looked at. What is it like? What is it like? What is hell like? And the Bible's very descriptive about that. It tells us all about what hell is like. And we touched on the various words that are used to communicate what hell is like. And then we looked at this. This is where we ended. Is hell forever? The Bible teaches, Jesus taught, that hell is forever. The Scriptures announce that it is. And therein is one of our great struggles. And this is where we left off. Remember this, in Matthew 18:8, the Bible tells us, Jesus said it himself, it is an everlasting fire. These are news clips. By the way, I want to show you how old this clip is. Boom times, why there's no end in sight. This is from an old magazine I have. But look at hell, a new vision of the netherworld. And you can see some people laying there getting a tan in hell while Satan's giving them a little suntan or whatever's going on, or a little cocktail or whatever. But that article went on to talk about the various views of hell. And we've got some photos from that magazine for you to just to get a look at. This is a topic that people want to discuss, but they don't want to discuss because visions like this come up into their minds, that it's this kind of this horrible place. And of course it is. But as these things go on, these things haunt the human nature, the human psyche. And all these things, just in Time magazine, had these things laid out there. Jesus said it's real, and we want to avoid that. We want to learn from that. He says it's an everlasting fire. In Matthew 25:46, imagine that. Listen to this. As you look at these photos, these will go away, Jesus says, into everlasting punishments, but the righteous into eternal life. And the fact of the matter is that hell is forever, and the words that Jesus used and the Bible uses is that heaven is forever. And aren't you glad, Christian, heaven's forever? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we're going to be in heaven forever and ever? At no moment will someone come up and say, all right, time's up. Got to get out. There's a new group coming in. No, it's forever. And the same word usage for an eternal heaven is true regarding an eternal hell. You say, Jack, I don't like what I'm hearing. I understand that, but stay seated. Listen all the way through. Eternal things, listen, are beyond us. We are natural, earthbound people. Eternal things are beyond us. That's why there is so much that you and I can look at the Bible. I love this. For example, archaeology. The Bible is the chief consulted book on archaeology, because when the Bible mentions a city, you can grab a shovel and get on an airplane and go to that place and start digging, and you find pottery and coins and helmets and shields, and you find that ancient old city. Even the Smithsonian Institute has said that the Bible's the most reliable archaeological book. Even on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel, there's that guy, what's his face? I don't remember his name. He's the naked archaeologist. That's the name of the program. Because he approaches everything from an area of doubt. And he uses the Bible. And he says, let's see if the Bible is right about finding the old city of David. And guess what? They go there and they find the old city of David. It's not even a Christian program. But the eternal things are beyond us when there's times when we can't put a shovel in the ground. When things like this are said in the Bible, that hell is real, and that we're to have faith in God, that we're to trust him, that he doesn't want us to go there, that the Bible speaks about hell being a place where we are rewarded for the sins that we've committed in our lives. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he came that we don't have to be rewarded for those sins. The Bible teaches that Jesus went to the cross and was nailed there for our sins, and that we don't have to go to hell. But we can go to heaven. He bought the ticket, as it were. The Bible tells us and warns us in Galatians 6:7-8, do not be deceived. That's a strong term, by the way. Paul speaks to the Galatian believers. It's a military command. The word means, and it's emphatic, stop being deceived. It means that the human nature, listen, everybody, It means that the human nature is prone to deception. Did you know that? You ever bought anything that you got snookered on? Man, what did I get that thing? It's a piece of junk. It looks so good. We're prone to that. We're prone to being tricked. We don't want to admit it, but we're prone to falling for something that's being put before us. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Stop it, it says. God is not mocked. You're not making fun of God. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, that's a capital S there, the Holy Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Notice it's everlasting life. Hey, listen, church, friends, whatever we're doing in life right now, today, all day long, we were sowing seeds, spiritual seeds, just like natural seeds. Listen, you guys, things that are in the natural world speak of things in the spiritual world. You can throw seed out into the grass or out into the field, and what happens? The ground begins to go through that seed kernel, permeate it, chemical reaction takes place. That seed, in a second that it dies, launches out a little root, begins to grow from its death. From death comes life. It breaks through the soil, reaching upward toward the sun. And this is a cycle that goes on every day by the sowing of the seed. Listen, as people, we all know this. You don't have to be a Christian tonight to agree with me. If you lick these electrical devices right here, if you start licking them, and you go over there and you suck on the wall socket over there, I mean, your hair is going to be on fire. Your eyeballs are going to be popping out. Why? What did you do? You went and you did something, and in an instant, you got a reaction. Boom, that fast. Sometimes we think, well, I've been doing this thing for a long time, and nothing's happened yet. It must be okay. Watch out. Watch out. You can get a quick response by licking that wall socket. Or you can live a life in such a way that there'll come a time when the season begins to produce what we've been sowing. And you want to be careful. That is a spiritual and natural truth. Listen to this great quote I came across today. It says this, "We may be too busy now, but someday each and every one of us will find time to die." Can you imagine? Excuse me. Yes, what is it? It's time for you to die. I'm sorry. I've got way too much going on. Man, it's so simple. It's profound. It's true. But listen, hell sounds very extreme to us. I understand that. And this is what we have to receive by faith because the Bible says so. And I mentioned this to you last week, but I want to say it again. It sounds terribly extreme to us. But I think it's because we don't understand how terrible sin is. I think if you maybe visited or worked at the children's hospital or the ER at USC, and you'd see some of the things that people do to little children, the Bible calls it sin. When a mother on drugs cuts the eyes out of her baby with a single-edged razor blade because she's stoned out on drugs. Where does that come from? No human does that to another human. It's the power of sin, and it's horrific. We think about Jesus' death, but I don't think we understand it enough. We think about God's holiness, but we don't get it enough. You guys, God is somehow not mean and angry and out of control because there are people in hell tonight. The Bible makes it clear that he didn't want them to go there. I think it's the cost of redemption for you and I, that God loved us so much that the price that was paid for you is so amazing that you and I don't grasp it. We don't get it. You are so valuable to God that his only son came from heaven to earth to pay a debt, to liberate us from the grave and from the confines of hell itself. That when we think about the word hell, or somebody mentions hell, or I can't believe in you Christians. You know, if you worship a God of love, then why is there people in hell? Oh my goodness, my friend, listen, God doesn't want anybody to go there. He has said that over and over again, and he sent his son Jesus so that people wouldn't go there. Well, then why are people there? They choose to be there. They say, I don't want him in my life. I'll think of some other way. Point number two is this, the purpose for hell. How can hell have a purpose? Well, before we get into the purpose, jot this verse down. The purpose for hell. Jot this verse down. 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. God is love. What an awesome verse. So first of all, right there, regarding the purpose of hell, know this. The Bible says that God is love. There's no contradiction. God is love. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word repentance in Greek is the word metanoia. Look at that picture. Don't you love that? Look at that little guy walking away from God. He's got his little knapsack on, but there's a tear hanging off of that stick. And God's eye is there, and there's a tear coming from the eye of God. That's a great picture. But look at that verse and the actual meaning. For the Lord is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn, that has come to him in repentance. That Greek word is metanoia. It means to change your mind. It's no big super story. It means change your mind. Just change the way you think. Back up. Think again. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, friends, isn't that awesome? That's a beautiful, beautiful passage. That's a great, great note. So what is the purpose for hell? Number one, it's certainly this. It's to punish the demonic hosts. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in various places, but certainly the scripture makes it clear that hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. Isn't that weird? You hear anything of that? Wow. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads, and his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And most scholars believe that that is a reference to Satan. Well, we know that the fiery dragon, it goes on to say that it is Satan, but that the drawing of his tail swept with him a third of the stars of heaven speaks to angelic beings, because in the Old Testament, stars are referred to as angelic beings.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a scripture-based presentation that takes a look at a serious question that every individual has got to come to terms with at some point in life. Is hell real, and what is it like? It's a key part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on Thursday's edition of Real Radio. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to be sitting down in the studio with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa. We're going to talk about the book they wrote together called Turn Around at Home. It's just been released, by the way. Turn Around at Home. It's for every parent who wonders, how can I move beyond this family pattern that I grew up with? It's going to be a riveting discussion with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and that's tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, you can always visit realradioactive.org if you'd like to hear today's edition of Real Radio once again. Or you can hear it as many times as you'd like. In fact, you can also hear archived editions of Real Radio. And you can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber while you're there. By the way, this is all made easy with our brand new Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. We've been telling you all about that. You really should get it if you get a chance. Have you downloaded it yet? Don't forget, it is free. To learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.